Exodus chapter 15, verses 1 through 21. This is the reading of God's Word. Then Moses and the sons of Israel sang this song to the Lord and said, I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will extol him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has cast into the sea, and the choicest of his officers are drowned in the Red Sea. The deeps covered them. They went down into the depths like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, is majestic in power. Your right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemy. And in the greatness of your excellence, you overthrow those who rise up against you. You send forth your burning anger, and it consumes them as chaff. At the blast of your nostril, the waters were piled up, and flowing waters stood up like a heap. The deeps were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will drive, I will divide the spoil. My desire shall be gratified against them. I will draw out my sword, my hand will destroy them. You blew with your wind, the sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who is like you among the gods, O Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in praises, working wonders? You stretched out your right hand, the earth swallowed them. In your loving kindness, you have led the people whom you have redeemed. In your strength, you have guided them to your holy habitation. The peoples have heard, they tremble. Anguish has gripped the inhabitants of Philistia. Then the chiefs of Edom were dismayed, and leaders of Moab, a tremble grips them. All the inhabitants of Canaan have melted away. Terror and dread fell upon them. By the greatness of your arm, they are motionless as stone, until your people pass over, O Lord, until the people pass over whom you have purchased. You will bring them and plant them in the mountain of your inheritance, the place, O Lord, which you have made for your dwelling, the sanctuary, O Lord, which you have, your hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. For the horses of Pharaoh with his chariots and his horsemen went into the sea, and the Lord brought back the waters on the sea on them. But the sons of Israel walked on dry land through the midst of the sea. Miriam, the prophetess, Aaron's sister, took the timber in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbers and with dancing. Miriam answered them, Sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and his rider has hurled into the sea. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. We pray that you will grant us, all of us, an ear to hear your word, that we may, through your word, hear the loving voice of our God, telling us the wonderful stories of Jesus Christ. In your word, let us also see what Jesus has done and accomplished for us, our heavenly reality. That we may rejoice and give thanks and bring glory and honor to you. Oh, Father, we pray that you and you alone will receive all the glory. We thank you and pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Israelites crossed the Red Sea. The sons of Israel walked on dry land. Through the midst of the sea, and the waters were like a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. They were saved by God from Egyptian slavery. But we need to, before we begin looking at chapter 15, we need to remember something important here. The events in the Old Testament are typological. Well, they are the actual historical events, but they are pointing to the eternal realities that our Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished when He came. Thus, the Old Testament salvation itself is a typological salvation. Old Testament salvation is being saved from one place of this world and being delivered to the another place in this world. That is not true eternal salvation. See, Old Testament salvation is a typological salvation, just like anything in the Old Testament. It is not the true salvation that saves a sinner from sin in this world and delivers him or she or her into true heaven. What we see in the Old Testament, it is a picture of the true reality that our Lord Jesus Christ accomplishes. In saying that, we need to be very careful. We have to emphasize that these are actual historical events. Just because it points to the true reality does not mean that somebody made up these stories that it never happened. No, it did happen. Is historical. From Old Testament salvation, then, we must see the pictures of the true salvation that our Lord Jesus Christ accomplishes. It is like the Old Testament saints are playing roles in the drama of God's redemptive history. All the Israelites crossed the Red Sea. Yes. It happened. And it is a picture of God's people being saved. But this does not mean that individually all of them are truly saved from sin and from this world, and now all of them are in heaven. That is not what is showing. Just because you see all the Israelites crossing the Red Sea, don't think that there are all of them are in heaven right now. No, they are playing the role of God's people being saved. Through these events, God is showing us what actually happens in Christ. That's why these events in the Bible, they're actual historical events, but they are not the history of Israel. No, it's redemptive history. It's history of God's salvation. And God happened to use the events in Israel's history to show us that. He could have chosen any other nation. He could have used Korean history to show us the same thing. He could have caused all these things happen in Korea to show us the same thing. All of them play the role of God's people who are being saved by God, but this does not mean that all of them are truly saved individually. Let me give you more examples. Noah's flood. There were 5 members in the Noah's family who were saved from the flood. A clear picture of God saving His people. Just like when Jesus returns, the whole world will be destroyed and His people will be saved. God, Jesus even said that my return, my second coming, will be just like what happened at the Noah's time. So yes, as we see these 8 members in the Noah's family being saved, we see how God saves his people. Again, first of all, the Noah's flood was an actual historical event. And all of eight people played in the flood the role of God's people being saved. But this does not mean that all of those eight people are truly saved. Saved from sin and this world, and now all of them are in heaven. No. Corporately, all of them play the role of God's people who are being saved. But individual salvation depends only on their individual faith in coming Messiah, Jesus Christ. The Old Testament person who does not have the true faith in Jesus Christ who was to come, thus who is going to hell, this person still could play a role of God's child in the Old Testament typological salvation history. You must understand this. If you read the rest of the Bible from Noah's flood, you could conclude safely that one of those eight did not go to heaven. And yet that person was included in those eight people who are being saved in the flood. But if you keep reading, it's very clear at least one of them did not go to heaven. Understand? The Israelites have sinned against God and kicked out of the promised land. And I want to show you the reverse is also true. Let us look at Daniel, who was exiled with the other Israelites. And being kicked out of the promised land is a picture of God's judgment. And Daniel played a role of the sinners who received the God's judgment. But this does not mean that he is now in hell. The Old Testament judgment was also typological, that was pointing to the true eternal judgment of God that is to come. All the Israelites who crossed the Red Sea corporately, they all play the role of God's people who participates in the resurrection from the dead. But again, this does not mean that all of them individually had the true faith and truly saved. The same truth applies to the Egyptians also. Moses, in the typological salvation of God in the Old Testament, played the role of person who did not enter the promised land, which was pointing to heaven. I mean, if a promised land was a picture of heaven, Moses did not make it. He didn't go in. But you know he's in heaven right now. So in redemptive history of the Old Testament, he played the role that sinner, a sinner who did not go into the promised land. And yet, individually speaking, he did go into the true heaven. And why is that so? Well, Moses represents the law. That's the picture. You cannot enter heaven through law. I hope this helps. You're looking at the redemptive history. And through them, through these events, you are looking at what truly happens in Jesus Christ. These events that God collected from the history of Israel is to show you Jesus Christ, what he does, how he saves, and what happens to people of God who are being saved. That's the purpose of God writing the Old Testament. Jesus himself said, Moses wrote about me. In John chapter 5. Moses wrote about me, he says. He did not write about the history of Israel. He wrote about Jesus Christ. That is what you need to understand. So many people don't get this. That's why when they read the Bible, they don't really get the meaning, the true meaning of what the Bible is trying to say. They just look at these events and all they want to learn is some kind of morals. How they are good people, and when you're good, God blesses you with worldly things, you know, that kind of stuff. That is not what the Bible is about. We'll talk about this more and more as we talk about what happens in the book of Exodus. Even, I can't wait until we get to the section where you know, we see they build the tabernacle. And all the furnitures in the tabernacle, how they build the tabernacle, it all shows Jesus Christ and the church that he is accomplishing. That's the purpose. Well, now back to chapter 15 of Exodus. We saw in chapter 14 how Israelites, they crossed the Red Sea. Now Moses and the Israelites who crossed the Red Sea now praise God on the other side of the sea. Now we saw how crossing the Red Sea was a picture of baptism. And baptism is about dying with Christ and being resurrected with Christ. So as Israelites, they cross the Red Sea, they come out from the other side. What is the picture? They have arrived in heaven. And what do? They praise God. And that is exactly what we will see later. I'll turn to that. In Revelation chapter 15. It's no longer Red Sea. It's actually Glassy Sea in Revelation 15. And on the other side of shore, God's people who are being saved, they're praising God forever and ever. In Exodus, we're looking at the preview of what Christ will accomplish and preview of your and my eternal reality of heaven. As people of God who are being saved out of sin and death, what do? We praise God forever and ever. And that is what we're seeing here. Moses and the Israelites who crossed the Red Sea now praise God. On the other side of the sea, thus we have what we call the Song of Moses from verses 1 through 18. That is why, I don't know, if you have a modern translation, it is indented as to show you that it is a poem. It's a song. Verse 1 through 18, they're singing this song to God. Now let us briefly look at the contents of this song. Verse 1 through 2, the Israelites praise God for what he has done. The Lord is my strength and he has become my salvation. This is my God. What did he do? He has hurled the Egyptian horses and their riders into the sea. Verse 3 to 5, more details of what God has done at the Red Sea, Pharaoh's chariots and his army. God has cast into the sea. And the choicest of Pharaoh's officers are drowned in the Red Sea. The deep covers them. They went down into the depths like a stone. The attributes of God have been revealed in the redemptive history of God. The Lord is warrior. Verse 6 through 7, the Lord is not just a warrior, but the victorious warrior and the victorious judge. Your right hand, O Lord, is majestic in power. Your right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemy. And in the greatness of your excellency, you overthrow those who rise up against you. You send forth your burning anger, and it consumes them as chaff. You blew with your wind. The sea covers them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Verses 11 through 16, this victorious warrior, this victorious judge, he is God who cannot be compared with anything. Who is like you among all gods, O Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in praises, working wonders. In your loving kindness, you have led the people whom you have redeemed. In your strength, you have guided them to your holy habitation. The people have heard, they tremble. All the acts of God are so certain. That's why when you read verse 13b, in your strength, you have guided them to your holy habitation. They just crossed the Red Sea. In order for God to say this, in order for these people to say, you have guided them to your holy habitation, which is in Jerusalem, they sing as if this already happened. They use past tense in singing this. Why? Because it is so certain that God will do this. God's work is so certain that the future event is told as something that has already happened. And we see something similar in the Old Testament, you know, already and not yet. Already happened, but not yet. There are always these two senses to our salvation. We're already in heaven, but not yet. But this is different from how the Old Testament, the reality that we see in the Old Testament. But here, what God does is so certain that they could even say what He will do as what has already happened. Verses 16 through 18, only in this section we have the future tenses. Verse 17, you will bring them and plant them in the mountain of your inheritance, the place, O Lord, which you have made for your dwelling, the sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established. Verse 18, the Lord shall reign forever and ever. Our God is the victorious warrior and the victorious judge, that He cannot be compared with anything, and this God delivers His people, and He will reign forever and ever. Amen. Now, in this event of crossing the Red Sea, we see two kinds of people. The Egyptians, which points to non-believers, and the Israelites, which points to the believers. And we see the two results. The Egyptians, they sank like lead in the mighty waters, a picture of death, a picture of hell. And the Israelites led to the mountain of God's inheritance, to God's dwelling, to God's sanctuary. And what we see typologically in the event of the crossing the Red Sea will be completely and perfectly and visibly consummated when Jesus Christ, our Lord, comes back. The Egyptian army had the mind of Satan. Verse 9, the enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My desire shall be gratified against them. I will draw my sword, my hand will destroy them. Just like what we saw in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 13 through 14. But you said in your heart, this is Satan's mind, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. And I will sit on the mountain of assembly in the recess of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. They say all this, but God in verse 10b blew with His wind. The sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. God destroys His enemies. Isaiah 14, 15, same thing there. Satan says all that, but nevertheless you will be thrust down to Sheol, the Old Testament version of hell, to the recess of the pit. We see a very interesting thing in the song of Moses. Moses describes the event of the crossing the Red Sea as God coming as a warrior and destroying all of His enemies. I mean, think about it. If you are standing at the shore of Red Sea at that time, only thing you will see is that sea will divide, and sea will come back, water will come back. That's it. But Moses describes the event as God coming as a warrior and destroying his enemies. That's the picture. Because this is what Jesus will do. All of this points to the final battle of God with Gog and Magog, Armageddon, the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We saw this already. His people will be saved and be led to heaven, and the children of Satan and Satan himself will be judged by God and will be sent to hell forever and ever. In this battle between the Israelites and the Egyptians, what did the Israelites do? Yes, all the Egyptians, they're destroyed, but what did Israelites do in this battle? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. They just watched what God has done. And that is the picture. God and God alone accomplishes our salvation. Verse 17, you will bring them and plant them in the mountain of your inheritance, the place, O Lord, which you have made for your dwelling, the sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established. It says God will bring his people to the mountain of his inheritance. God will bring his people to his dwelling, his sanctuary. Now, of course, this is partially, temporarily, and earthly, or should I say typologically, fulfilled in a shadowy level when David and his son Solomon built the temple in Jerusalem. When Israelites crossed the Red Sea, for 40 years they wandered around the desert, but they got to the promised land. And when they got there, by God's grace, they were able to build the temple. Solomon builds the temple. So when Solomon finishes that temple, then this promise, you will bring them and plant them in the mountain of your inheritance, which is Mount Zion, earthly Mount Zion. The place, O Lord, which you have made for your dwelling, your sanctuary, that was temple. So this promise was fulfilled typologically when David and his son Solomon built the temple in Jerusalem. And 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 56 says, blessed be the Lord, who has given rest to his people Israel according to all that he promised. Not one word has failed of all his good promise, which he promised through Moses, his servant. And that's exactly what that verse is referring to, what Moses is praising God with. Temple was built on earthly Mount Zion, and temple was where God's name was to dwell. Thus, it was God's dwelling place, and temple was also God's sanctuary. Thus, it was God, thus you and I, we could say that verse 17 was fulfilled when the Israelites conquered the land of Canaan and built the temple in Jerusalem. But Old Testament temple itself was typological. It was not the ultimate fulfillment of God's promise. When Jesus comes, he teaches us that he is the eternal temple, not the temple, the physical earthly temple in Jerusalem. And you who are in him, you are the true temple of God. So the temple that Solomon built was not the ultimate temple that God promised. So if you understand the flow of redemptive history, if you understand what is going on in the Bible, yes, at the Solomon time, Moses the promise that God makes to Moses is fulfilled, but it is temporarily fulfilled, typologically fulfilled. The eternal fulfillment, we have to wait until Jesus comes. But you have to understand that when Moses spoke this, when God promised Moses about this, God's intention was not just fulfilled typologically, but his ultimate purpose is to fulfill this promise eternally in Jesus Christ. That's his intention. So from the story of God, you know, Solomon building God's temple, earthly temple, you are to see the reality of Jesus, the son of David, who builds the eternal temple. That's what you are to learn from Solomon's story, is to know more about Jesus Christ. Okay, so you could say that verse 17 was fulfilled when Israelites conquered the land of Canaan and built the temple in Jerusalem. But the Old Testament temple was not the ultimate fulfillment of God's promise. For that, our Lord Jesus Christ had to come. The Exodus in our passage is a typological Exodus. The true Exodus is Exodus. The true Exodus is the Exodus from this world, Exodus from sin, and being delivered into heaven. It is the Exodus from sin to righteous, from death to eternal life, the Satan to God, from this world to heaven. And from the typological Exodus that we see in the book of Exodus, from that you need to see the true Exodus that Jesus accomplishes. That's the purpose of God writing the book of Exodus. At the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus talked about his exodus, his departure from the world. And he was talking about his death on the cross and his resurrection. So true exodus happens by death and resurrection. But that is exactly what we saw when Israelites crossed the Red Sea. It was a picture of baptism, dying with Christ and resurrecting with Christ. Oh! But the true Exodus then is through actual death and actual resurrection, eternal death and eternal resurrection. That's what happened to us. You and I, we came out of Egypt. And God has delivered us to God's own sanctuary, his own dwelling. And you and I are united to Jesus Christ in his death and his resurrection. Thus, we have died with him and we have resurrected with him, meaning we have crossed the Red Sea. And we have been brought to God, to his dwelling, and to his heavenly temple, to the heavenly Jerusalem, to the heavenly sanctuary of God. You have come out of this world spiritually, already, physically, when Jesus returns. And you have been seated at the heavenly place with Christ Jesus, spiritually already, but physically when he returns. Let us remember this. For us to be saved, for us to be delivered from sin and Satan and death and this world to righteousness, to God, to eternal life, to heaven, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior and God, had to be treated as the Egyptians in our passage. He was judged and he died on the cross for us in our places. The only reason that God's people are able to come out of death is that their Lord Jesus Christ has been judged by God the Father on the cross. We see Moses and the Israelites sing the victorious praises to God, for God has saved them But our Lord Jesus Christ had to sing a different psalm on the cross. Instead of, you know, this praise that we see Jesus when he was crossing the Red Sea, meaning when he was dying on the cross, he had to sing a different song. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why? So that you and I can join Moses in singing praises to God forever and ever. The event of the crossing the Red Sea, the Egyptians are completely destroyed. A picture of death and judgment. And the Israelites are saved, arrive at the other end of the sea. Picture of resurrection and eternal life. Thus, this is your story. This is your story. You are an active participant in this story. You have crossed the Red Sea. You have crossed the judgment of God and arrive at the other end, arrive at the eternal life, arrived at heaven. And I want you to see also that your old self is crucified with Christ on the cross. Your old self is dead in the Red Sea. Never came up. But you have been resurrected to a new life. You have been recreated by our God as a new man in the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. You have been recreated by our God as a son of God, as a righteous and holy son of God in the true son, Jesus Christ. Do you see what happened to you? Do you see what is your heavenly reality now? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5 and 6, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. All past tense. Because spiritually, it has already happened to you. Visibly, well, you have to wait. God builds his temple, his dwelling place, using you and me as the living stones. You and I have been saved and have been delivered into the kingdom of our God. You have been given the eternal life. You have been delivered into the glory of our God. You have been delivered unto God himself. You and I are seated in the heavenly places, and you and I have arrived in heaven to join Moses and other children of God in singing praises to God, for he has destroyed Satan and all of his enemies and saved us, his people. In heaven, now and forever, you and I will sing praises to God. Singing new songs to our God, the victorious warrior, the victorious judge who cannot be compared with anything else. Go to Revelation 15. Revelation chapter 15. In book of Exodus, you see God's people on the other side of the sea, they're singing praises to God because God has saved them and destroyed the Egyptians. And here in Revelation 15, this is not Red Sea, this is heaven. And it shows the same reality. Verse 2 to 4, and I saw something like a sea of glass. Why sea of glass? Well, what do you see when you see sea of glass? There's no waves. What is the picture? Because sea was the realm of Satan. We saw this already. That's what Red Sea was showing us. But it's glassy sea, meaning that the sea has been conquered. There's no waves. That's why Bible describes our turbulent life in this world as waging waves in the sea. And when you see Jesus calming that sea in the gospel, don't just say, whoa, Jesus is God. He could calm the storms and all that. No, there's a theological meaning in calming the sea. He's conquering the realm of Satan. So, I saw something like a sea of glass, meaning that it was, you know, parted already, and Israelites, the true Israelites, meaning Christians, have crossed it already, and water came back, and all of his enemies are now destroyed. Now calm sea. I saw something like sea of glass mixed with fire, and those who have been victorious over the beast and his image and the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, holding harps of God. And symbolical language. I don't think, you know, actually we're going to play harp when we go to heaven. But you get the point, though. You get the picture. And they sang the song of Moses. It says they sang the song of Moses. Well, symbolically, what is the writer of the book of Revelation trying to show us? Well, as we read this, his intention is so that we could go back, we could see the past. And that our focus is, oh, the crossing the Red Sea. Aha! The same thing happened to us. God saved us. We have been died with Christ and been resurrected with Christ. And we sing what in heaven? The song of Moses. I don't know if it is exactly the same words, but you get the picture, you get the point. It's a victorious song, a triumphant song. The praising our God who is the warrior, who is victorious warrior and the victorious judge. And they sang the song of Moses, the bondservant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are your works, O Lord God, the Almighty, righteous and true are your ways, King of the nations. Brothers and sisters, do you see yourself joining our brothers and sisters, joining Moses in Jesus Christ, and joining angels who are in heaven in singing the praises to our God, even now? When you stand up and sing those hymns, don't just think, okay, you know, here we are, we're singing. No, what are you witnessing? You're witnessing your heavenly reality where you have been gathered unto God. Myriads of angels and brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world. And we're singing, praising our God, the victorious warrior, our Lord Jesus Christ. You must see yourself joining your brothers and sisters in Christ and joining angels in singing praises to God. Revelation chapter 4, verse 9 through 11. And when the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, to Him who lives forever and ever, and the 24 elders will fall down before Him who sits on the throne and will worship Him who lives forever and ever and will cast their crowns before the throne, saying, worthy are you, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and because of your will, they existed and were created. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9 and 10. And they sang a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals. For you were slain and purchased for God with your blood, men from every tribe and tongues and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priest to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. Revelation 5, verse 11 through 14, then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was myriads of myriads, and thousands of thousands. saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and the honor and glory and blessing. And every created thing which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and on the sea, and all things in them I heard saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever." And the four living creatures kept saying, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshipped. Revelation 14 verse 1 through 3, "Then I looked and behold, the Lamb was standing on Mount Zion." This is heavenly Mount Zion. "And with him 144,000, symbolical number that includes all who are elect and saved, having his name and the name of his Father written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven like the sound of many waters, like the sound of loud thunder. And the voice which I heard was like the sound of harpists playing on their harps. And they sang a new song before the throne, before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one could learn the song except the 144,000 who had been purchased from the earth." Brothers and sisters, this is what our worship is all about. You and I who are saved by our God are worshiping and singing praises to our God, for he has saved us. Do you see how the song of Moses is your song? That how what we see in chapter 15 is your story. You are actually doing the same thing that you see in this passage. Even now as we gather here to worship our God, we have been gathered on the other side. We cross the Red Sea. And joining with brothers and sisters, we praise our God. That is what this worship is all about. You have to worship God in faith. You have to believe. Even now, even as we worship our God, we have arrived in the other side, other world, singing praises to God who have completely accomplished our salvation. You too, and me also, joining Moses, saying, "Who is like you among the gods, O Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in praises, working wonders? You are my strength and song, and you are my salvation. You are my God, and I will praise you now and forever. The Lord shall reign forever and ever." I pray that by God's grace that you will see yourself in the passage. Because it is your story. It is what happened to you. What Christ has accomplished for his people. So whenever we gather to worship, understand what has happened. And understand what is happening. And understand what will happen. The eternal salvation has been accomplished, is being accomplished, and one day will consummate, visibly consummate, when Jesus returns. Until then, we witness what has already happened, what is our already eternal reality. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We give you all the glory, honor, and power. Oh Father, you are amazing God. You cannot be compared to any other gods or any other people or thing. You are our God. And you have saved us and destroyed your and our enemies.
And we praise you, give you all the glory, honor, and power, now and forever. We love you, God. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Exodus. The true Exodus is the Exodus from this world, Exodus from sin, and being delivered into heaven. It is the Exodus from sin to righteous, from death to eternal life, the Satan to God, from this world to heaven. And from the typological Exodus that we see in the book of Exodus, from that you need to see the true Exodus that Jesus accomplishes. That's the purpose of God writing the book of Exodus. At the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus talked about his exodus, his departure from the world. And he was talking about his death on the cross and his resurrection. So true exodus happens by death and resurrection. But that is exactly what we saw when Israelites crossed the Red Sea. It was a picture of baptism, dying with Christ and resurrecting with Christ. Oh! But the true Exodus then is through actual death and actual resurrection, eternal death and eternal resurrection. That's what happened to us. You and I, we came out of Egypt. And God has delivered us to God's own sanctuary, His own dwelling. And you and I are united to Jesus Christ in His death and His resurrection. Thus, we have died with Him and we have resurrected with Him, meaning we have crossed the Red Sea. And we have been brought to God, to His dwelling, and to His heavenly temple, to the heavenly Jerusalem, to the heavenly sanctuary of God. You have come out of this world spiritually, already, physically, when Jesus returns. And you have been seated at the heavenly place with Christ Jesus, spiritually already, but physically when He returns. Let us remember this. For us to be saved, for us to be delivered from sin and Satan and death and this world to righteousness, to God, to eternal life, to heaven, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior and God, had to be treated as the Egyptians in our passage. He was judged and He died on the cross for us in our places. The only reason that God's people are able to come out of death is that their Lord Jesus Christ has been judged by God the Father on the cross. We see Moses and the Israelites sing the victorious praises to God, for God has saved them. But our Lord Jesus Christ had to sing a different psalm on the cross. Instead of, you know, this praise that we see Jesus when He was crossing the Red Sea, meaning when He was dying on the cross, He had to sing a different song. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why? So that you and I can join Moses in singing praises to God forever and ever. The event of the crossing the Red Sea, the Egyptians are completely destroyed. A picture of death and judgment. And the Israelites are saved, arrive at the other end of the sea. Picture of resurrection and eternal life. Thus, this is your story. This is your story. You are an active participant in this story. You have crossed the Red Sea. You have crossed the judgment of God and arrived at the other end, arrived at the eternal life, arrived at heaven. And I want you to see also that your old self is crucified with Christ on the cross. Your old self is dead in the Red Sea. Never came up. But you have been resurrected to a new life. You have been recreated by our God as a new man in the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. You have been recreated by our God as a son of God, as a righteous and holy son of God, in the true son, Jesus Christ. Do you see what happened to you? Do you see what is your heavenly reality now? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5 and 6, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. All past tense. Because spiritually it has already happened to you. Visibly, well, you have to wait. God builds his temple, his dwelling place, using you and me as the living stones. You and I have been saved and have been delivered into the kingdom of our God. You have been given the eternal life. You have been delivered into the glory of our God. You have been delivered unto God himself. You and I are seated in the heavenly places, and you and I have arrived in heaven to join Moses and other children of God in singing praises to God, for he has destroyed Satan and all of his enemies and saved us, his people. In heaven, now and forever, you and I will sing praises to God. Singing new songs to our God, the victorious warrior, the victorious judge who cannot be compared with anything else. Go to Revelation 15. Revelation chapter 15. In the book of Exodus, you see God's people on the other side of the sea, they're singing praises to God because God has saved them and destroyed the Egyptians. And here in Revelation 15, this is not Red Sea, this is heaven. And he shows the same reality. Verse 2 to 4, and I saw something like a sea of glass. Why sea of glass? Well, what do you see when you see sea of glass? There's no waves. What is the picture? Because sea was the realm of Satan. We saw this already. That's what Red Sea was showing us. But it's glassy sea, meaning that the sea has been conquered. There's no waves. That's why the Bible describes our turbulent life in this world as raging waves in the sea. And when you see Jesus calming that sea in the gospel, don't just say, whoa, Jesus is God. He could calm the storms and all that. No, there's a theological meaning in calming the sea. He's conquering the realm of Satan. So, I saw something like a sea of glass, meaning that it was, you know, parted already, and Israelites, the true Israelites, meaning Christians, have crossed it already, and water came back, and all of his enemies are now destroyed. Now calm sea. I saw something like sea of glass mixed with fire, and those who have been victorious over the beast and his image and the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, holding harps of God. And symbolical language. I don't think, you know, actually we're going to play harp when we go to heaven. But you get the point, though. You get the picture. And they sang the song of Moses. It says they sang the song of Moses. Well, symbolically, what is the writer of the book of Revelation trying to show us? Well, as we read this, his intention is so that we could go back, we could see the past. And that our focus is, oh, the crossing the Red Sea. Aha! The same thing happened to us. God saved us. We have been died with Christ and been resurrected with Christ. And we sing what in heaven? The song of Moses. I don't know if it is exactly the same words, but you get the picture, you get the point. It's a victorious song, a triumphant song. Praising our God, who is the warrior, who is victorious warrior, and the victorious judge. And they sang the song of Moses, the bondservant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are your works, O Lord God, the Almighty, righteous and true are your ways, King of the nations. Brothers and sisters, do you see yourself joining our brothers and sisters, joining Moses in Jesus Christ, and joining angels who are in heaven in singing the praises to our God, even now? When you stand up and sing those hymns, don't just think, okay, you know, here we are, we're singing. No, what are you witnessing? You're witnessing your heavenly reality where you have been gathered unto God, myriads of angels and brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world, and we're singing, praising our God, the victorious warrior, our Lord Jesus Christ. You must see yourself joining your brothers and sisters in Christ and joining angels in singing the praises to God. Revelation chapter 4, verse 9 through 11, and when the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, to Him who lives forever and ever, and the 24 elders will fall down before Him who sits on the throne and will worship Him who lives forever and ever and will cast their crowns before the throne, saying, worthy are you, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and because of your will, they existed and were created. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9 and 10. And they sang a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals. For you were slain and purchased for God with your blood men from every tribe and tongues and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priest to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. Revelation 5, verse 11 through 14. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and the honor and glory and blessing. And every created thing which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and on the sea, and all things in them I heard saying, to Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever. And the four living creatures kept saying, amen. And the elders fell down and worshipped. Revelation 14, verse 1 through 3, then I looked, and behold, the Lamb was standing on Mount Zion. This is heavenly Mount Zion. And with Him 144,000, symbolical number that includes all who are elect and saved, having His name and the name of His Father written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven like the sound of many waters, like the sound of loud thunder. And the voice which I heard was like the sound of harpists playing on their harps. And they sang a new song before the throne, before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one could learn the song except the 144,000 who have been purchased from the earth. Brothers and sisters, this is what our worship is all about. You and I who are saved by our God are worshiping and singing praises to our God, for He has saved us. Do you see how the song of Moses is your song? That how what we see in chapter 15 is your story. You are actually doing the same thing that you see in this passage. Even now as we gather here to worship our God, we have been gathered on the other side. We crossed the Red Sea. And joining with brothers and sisters, we praise our God. That is what this worship is all about. You have to worship God in faith. You have to believe. Even now, even as we worship our God, we have arrived in the other side, other world, singing praises to God who have completely accomplished our salvation. You too, and me also, joining Moses, saying, who is like you among the gods, O Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in praises, working wonders? You are my strength and song, and you are my salvation. You are my God, and I will praise you now and forever. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. I pray that by God's grace that you will see yourself in the passage. Because it is your story. It is what happened to you. What Christ has accomplished for His people. So whenever we gather to worship, understand what has happened. And understand what is happening. And understand what will happen. The eternal salvation has been accomplished, is being accomplished, and one day will consummate, visibly consummate, when Jesus returns. Until then, we witness what has already happened, what is our already eternal reality. Let us pray to Heavenly Father, we thank you. We give you all the glory, honor, and power. Oh, Father, you are amazing God. You cannot be compared to any other gods or any other people or thing. You are our God. And you have saved us and destroyed your and our enemies. And we praise you, give you all the glory, honor, and power, now and forever. We love you, God. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.